Meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much for joining the Root Zone LGR study group meeting on 4th of June 2018. We have Dennis Stan, Edmund, Gaurav Edi, Pitinan, Wei Wong, Samath Hussain on the call. Over to you, Dennis, and I'll share the screen just in a sec.
Thank you, Sarmat. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Let's get to the document immediately. And so one way you say you can open the link. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, so there may be a connectivity issues with Google Docs. Despite that, we have the document on screen. Hope you can see that. Okay. So just as a recap of the last couple of weeks, we have been augmenting the document with some answers so that for everybody's consideration, I'm trying to capture all of the comments, observations. Those that are very straightforward edits, they just go directly to the document. Others stay, as you can see, as comments as we go through those, and as a study group as a whole, we can reach a consensus of what we want to get into the final version of this. So going to the documents, Sarma, can I have control of the screen, or should I share my screen in order to control what others
Yes, I can hand the control to you, but you probably can't take control over the screen here. So let me stop sharing and hand the control over to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so now I can share a document. That's what I want. Oh, no, not a document, my screen. Okay. Nope. So am I sharing something?
Yes, we can see the document.
Oh, okay. So what I cannot see, though, is... Oh, there you go. Okay. So I just want to keep a tab on who's raising hands. So on and so forth. Hold on a second. Just let me... All right. Well, never mind. Okay. So I trust that you are looking on my screen now. So from the top, we started defining some of the principles. I think they are getting into a solid form, which are basically we are going to follow the LGR procedure. Nothing can go against the security and stability of the root zone. And given options, we should adopt the conservative approach. These principles have not been tested yet. So I hope they can hold over time. There is some conversation going on in terms of principle two. But we are leaning towards keeping it explicit. I mean, given that LGR procedure does not go against the security and stability, some would argue that principle number two is included in number one, but making it explicit is more obvious for the reader, especially those that are going to follow up, build on top of this study work. Okay, so scrolling down, we have expanded a bit, expanding on the use of LGR, meaning what to use, how to use the LGR, and there is some content here that we for our consideration. Some sections I'm going to remove, for example, this one, Sarmat pointed out this is not valid, and it is correct based on our later discussions. This point is already moot now. Then moving on to whether letter B, is it advisable to use Ruton LGR to validate TLD? Yes, no, and why? I think the obvious answer is yes. There is some text here. It will need a little bit cleanup, so please chime in whenever you have time this week before our next meeting. Following on topic C, talking about single character level TLDs, there are some discussions here based on ESSAC report 052 and 089. So please take a look at those, read those. If this is my take based on those reports, I try to keep it very short, but if we need to elaborate a little bit more, please feel free to chime in and edit. Okay? We'll remove several questions added by Desalin relative to two-character TLDs, uses cross-script, mixed scripts. We felt that this is more more related to what generation panels do, and once these points are taken by the each of the script LGRs, Latin, Cyrillic, Chinese, Japanese LGRs, really the use of the LGR is going to be very straightforward. So I think having a discussion of mixed scripts across the scripts here is not relevant. So we're going to remove those questions here as not relevant for this study group. So moving on to letter G. So in which part of the current processes should the Ruton LGR be used? And this is still in development. I have started this, we have started this as breaking out as the sections that we need to touch on. So at the high level, we have two boxes, ETLDs and CTLDs, and within each of these boxes, we have to think about the use of Ruton LGR for past applications and future applications. So right now we are here. I think we, at some point, we need to come back and elaborate more on this one. So next, letter H. Question is, should ETLDs and CTLD application processes use LGR equally? Yes, no, and why? And there are, right now, there are arguments for yes and arguments for no. And those are captured here. You see those here. And I want to come back in a minute in order to discuss this point because I think it's important. Letter I, what considerations, if any, should be recommended for reserve IDN labels at the top level? This is, again, one of the straightforward questions. Sarma, thank you for the point. Yep, I was thinking second level domains when I was drafting this, but yeah, you are rightly so in pointing out that this is top level, not second level domain name. So thank you for that. And I know that you are also included the list of RSCs that should be included here. On letter J, the discussion turn around to when should the LER, the rules on LER be applied as relates to the timing of it. We know that at some point in time, the LER might not cover all the scripts for a specific or a given apply for label. So therefore, the question is whether should you apply the, should you prohibit it or apply the rules on LER to this unsupported script, or rather, in what cases you will use rules on LER, and when you use it, those results will be definite and final, right? Rather than if you, you apply the rules on LER, but because of the apply for label, it's not supported, what do you do, right? Go to Route D. So the question is more when you use it, and if you use it, the results, the calculations are going to be final, and you treat it such way, other cases will have to go a different route and follow a different process. And that's where that's the current work as of now. Any questions before I go in and jump into back to letter I for a deeper discussion? Any questions so far? Sarma, please go ahead.
Right, so I guess my question was for C2. I guess what I was saying was that so when we're referring to these SAC 52 and SAC 89 reports, they sort of make an recommendation, but that recommendation, it doesn't really, you know, they're just being asking to be, for example, conservative. And they eventually actually go on to maybe suggest a couple of things. So I guess my question was that this is just, at this point, obviously, my understanding is a scope exercise, right? And we will eventually come back and address this on perhaps a specific approach, make some recommendations. What's the question?
Yeah, so the question is if we are going to come back to a specific recommendations.
Right, so I guess question is that are we obviously, at this point we are just scoping this out, right? And we're going to come back to each one of them and discuss these and add more details. I guess that's the question.
That's correct, Sarma. I think we're putting more meat to the question. I mean, the question is just as a teaser, if you will, just to engage in a conversation, put the ideas down, and then, yeah, we have to come back to put some recommendations, solid recommendations that we want to do as a study group. You are correct. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I put myself on mute. All right, so let's jump to letter I. This is one that, letter H. Should GTLD and CCTLD application processes use rules on LER equally, yes, no, and why? And I thought this was going to be a straightforward yes answer, but since I have an argument for the no, unfortunately, we don't have Desalen to defend his position here, but I want to ask you guys whether you stand for it being on the yes side or the no side, and what's your rationale so that we can take note of that. Anyone? Edmund, please. Go ahead.
Thank you, Dennis. Well, I guess without Desalen explaining, it's hard to understand what he really means. But as an inclination, I'm inclined to say yes. I can't really, you know, even with the sentence provided, I think it's probably somewhat mistaken to think about it that way. But I don't want to I don't want to jump to a conclusion at this point, but my inclination is yes at this point, as and the rationale you put forward is simple.
Thank you, Edmund. Anyone else want to chime in?
This is Sarmad. I actually put a comment on this, so if you can just read that, I guess that's what I would like to add.
Thank you, Sarmad. Yes, so the comment Sarmad noted this morning says the difference may occur downstream when policy is added on top of the technical output for additional restrictions, but shouldn't be the part till the technical application be the same. I think that's where I was coming from as well. The application of the roots on LDR is a technical input-output process and is agnostic to whatever the top-level domain name applied for is intended for. It could be a genetic, could be a brand, open, doesn't matter. The application of the roots on LDR, the tool, it's a very objective process by which it says each of the code points a string is using is allowed by the LGR, and whether any variants are calculated and whole level evaluation rules are applied to those strings. So it's very objective input output. That's it, regardless of however or whatever you are going to use the TLD for. And that's downstream, like Sarma put it very well. It's downstreams on the policy side. But again, I think we will try to get Desalin to elaborate a little bit more and whether he agrees or not, and he puts forward additional comments to his position. Any other comments on this topic? No? Okay. Let's keep going. So letter I, I said very straightforward. It talks about the reserve IDN labels at the top level and how we can use this tool, the roots on LDR tool, to validate those labels and calculate the variance that ICANN may choose to reserve as well. An open question here, though, is what if the scripts are not supported? So I think we will have to talk about what I can do in order to do, which is basically maybe maintain status quo or something different.
Right. This is Sarmad. I'd like to come in.
Yes, Sarma, please go ahead.
So following your point, I guess one thing we could probably add is that any label which is invalid cannot be reserved.
Right. Let's take note of that. Edmund, please.
Thank you, Dennis. I'm not so sure about that. I can't immediately think of a particular example, but let's say certain characters are invalid, fine being, but and it looks a lot like some other character that is valid. The question then becomes whether it should be reserved or not, because it was it might become valid someday, and you know that shouldn't be allowed. I'm not, maybe I'm not making myself clear, but I think we should think a little bit about this. And I'd like to take another look at the invalid characters before deciding on this, because in one part of my mind, I would say perhaps all the invalid characters should be reserved. And lookalike ones might not be, perhaps shouldn't be allowed, but I'm just keeping it there.
Thank you, Em. Can I put you on task to go back, think about this, and give us your rationale on email? I mean, offline, right? You don't have to do it now, but just thinking through and put the examples here so that we can take note of that and document, use that as documentation.
Sure. I'll take another look at the invalid characters and see if any of them could kind of conceptually be reserved names, so that even similar looking ones shouldn't be, potentially shouldn't be allowed.
Thank you.
So this is Ahmad. I'd like to come in with you.
Yes, Ahmad.
So I think, it's, Edmund raises a valid point, and I guess when I was making my comment, I probably had something like that at the back of my mind as well. And I think then it probably is a good idea that we actually have a very clear definition of what reserved is. There may actually be two kinds of reserved. And if that's the case, then we really need to have two different names for it, rather than one name and trying to confuse those two things together. So that's just a comment for everybody to consider. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. Can I ask on that, when you're talking about potentially two reserve definitions, what would be one and what would be the other?
So when I was thinking, to me, reserved was something which is possible, which is quote unquote allowed to go into the root zone, a label which is allowed to go to the root zone, but is not allowed, banned for some reason. So that's one definition. And based on that definition, basically I had said that invalid labels actually cannot be reserved. Other option would be that if a root zone, through some calculation or through some other process downstream through policy, there are, for example, string similarity process, review process. There are, for some reason, other labels identified which are not, I guess, variants, but similar looking for a reserved label. And they are, as Edmund's saying, they're not really valid at this time, but may possibly become valid at a later time. They could be sort of remembered, not reserved, but will get reserved when and if they eventually get valid due to changes in LGR.
Thank you, Sarma. Yeah, and Edmund is also typing on the chat box. All right, let's keep moving. On J, when should the root zone SGRB apply. And really what I have here is a rationale of why we would recommend the option, which is now on letter green, I guess, in my screen. Like I said before, we, on the principles that the results and calculation of the LDR are final, and we have to take them as a definitive answer to whether a string is valid or not, and what are the calculated variance. Without thinking, without rationale, we should look at these, and we apply the roots and LDR for those strings that are supported, right? Once we take that route, we input those strings, and the decision and the calculations are definite. On the other hand, where I have unsupported labels, unsupported scripts, then those will have to follow a different route, a different process, which policy will decide how to deal with those. So this is sort of the rationale that I'm trying to elaborate here, convey, and just an attempt to recommend draft an initial recommendation. But again, this is for your consideration, and please, feel free to edit, comment, or observe any item here. I want to get any reactions on this section. Okay, so another reaction. Let's keep moving. You can always go back offline and open the document and just elaborate on your points, put everything on comments or edit as you feel free. All right, so now we're moving on to letter K. This is new. We haven't touched this the weeks before. So here it goes. How should the community with changes to the roots on LDR, what if a variant label has a disposition change from allocated to block in a subsequent version of roots on LDR, what if a variant TLD is already delegated into the root zone? Any reactions to this question? Sarma, I noted that you just typed something, but are you referring to, I don't know the timing of your comment. What, are you referring to letter J or K?
Okay, so I guess I've been coming. No, the comment I put in the chat was on the earlier discussion on J.
Okay.
But I also have a comment on K.
Okay. Right, go ahead.
So, yeah, okay, so I'll start with K. I think my suggestion would be that we enumerate the possibilities, all the possibilities, and talk for each of them separately, because some of those possibilities may have significant implications, whereas others may actually not. So, for example, one is allocated to or delegated to back to allocatable. That actually is a very significant change. Having something going from allocatable to blocked, I'm not sure. Going from blocked to allocatable could be possible in certain cases. So as I said, you know, there are multiple states there, I think we need to talk about each pair, change of pair, separately, because some of them are significant, some of them are possible, some of them may actually not be possible.
Thank you, Sarma. That's a good point. Edmund, please.
Pretty much in line of what Sama just said. So I was just wondering why not also cover from blocked to allocatable, probably less of a potential, but still that is possibly so. So we should cover all of it, and probably could put up a kind of matrix to see, you know, the states, and then fill in the boxes.
Thank you. Yeah. So the action item will be here to create a matrix or some sort, so that we can list all the possibilities, some of which may not be possible at all. But for completeness, we will list all of them and define what we this study group recommends for each of those cases. Okay, so that's an action item on me. I will create this matrix and ask others to chime in offline. So let's move on letter L. What recommendations, if any, regarding IANA process, will record, etc.? So this was added early in the early weeks. Any ideas here? Any positions that we want to note today? I think especially in the cases of variants, we want to recognize that variant labels should be recorded in the IANA to the same registry operator, and they should be clearly displayed in such a manner so that it's clear that it's one single registry operator that it's managing both zones. I see Edmund, hands up. Edmund, please.
Yeah, thank you, Dennis. Yeah, so as you said, I mean, I think variants are definitely an important part of this, and how it's presented, I'm wondering in terms of our scope, whether, you know, how much we should go into this. And the other thing is, perhaps it would be useful to, if Sama can pull out, the kind of ANA process, in some simple bullet points so we know whether we have covered the basis.
So my question actually, sorry, this is Sama. I'd like to come in response to Edmund, but I also see Wong Wei's hand is up, so I'll actually come back. Please add me to the queue.
Okay, Sarma. Wong Wei, please go ahead, and then we'll have Sarma.
Yeah. This is Wei. I'd like to say that who is records. The display of whose information is a little bit complicated than DNS resolution. Let me take the registry. For example, the KNET and ZDNS got a ticket from the ICANN because traditionally when an internet user inputs any variant label, either blocked or allocatable, or mixture label into the search bar of the Hui system, the Hui system will show them the labels that actually registered and allocated. I wonder if ANA is is supposed to update their WHOIS system according to the Rezone LGR rules. However, in the last meeting in Puerto Rico, it seems the policy is not decided yet by ICANN. But I doubt once the Rezone LGR is finished, I personally like to see that IANA do the same thing as the registry already did.
One way, do we lose you?
Yeah. I'm sorry, did you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, but I don't know if we
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I think we lost the last words of your intervention.
Okay, I'm sorry. I personally guess the once the Rezone LGR was finished, I personally like to see the IANA to update its WHOIS system that could accept any mixed label input and show the the related allocated variant label on them to the end user.
Okay, thank you. Sarma, please.
Okay, thank you, Dennis. So my question was actually about IANA process. I actually put a comment in there as well, because it's a bit ambiguous which particular IANA process are we actually talking about, or are we talking about multiple IANA processes, because there are multiple things. There's a process for delegation, there is a process for redelegation, there is also probably process for additional processes within IANA. So, are we going to look at each of those processes separately, or are we talking about a specific process?
Thank you, Sarmat. I think we need, so Edmond says delegation mainly. I think that's what we talked about early a few weeks ago. It's about the delegation process and how we display WHOIS records, et cetera, as pertains to finance. I think we can do a better job fine-tuning this question, so we will do that.
And I think, sorry, just to add to that, the delegation process actually may differ in cases of CCTLDs and GTLDs. So we should probably note that as well.
Yeah, okay. I see some action in the chat box. All right. Okay, let's move on to the next section. Variance. And again, all these sections are open. I see as open-ended. Today, when we created the structure of this token, was more of discussion starter. By no means this is the final structure, so it's just a way for us to have a conversation around certain topics that I think we need to talk about. So let's get going. So on section 2, variance. So we know that rules on LGR calculates a variance on any given label, So the questions are here, let's start with letter A. What are the possibilities for a valid label? What about invalid labels? And Sarma puts a question, not clear what this means. Yeah, I have to be honest that I don't remember what this means either. So I will leave it there, and let's move on to the next one so that we can come back to the labels. I mean, from a technical standpoint, a given label may have or not variants, and those variants are going to be different in terms of the disposition, whether it's going to be allocatable or block, and that's pretty much it. Right? And so that is basically letter B. What are the disposition values for a valid variant label? And letter C, let's move on to letter C. Should all allocatable variants be allocated and activated? Should fewer, what are the technical considerations of deploying variants at the top level? And so here, Desalin commented if a bundling approach should be considered as an option. And I asked the questions whether he was referring to the technical bundle, like the one NGO and ONG TLDs use when they basically synchronize these two TLDs to act as a one single zone. And that's sort of the intention of it. Any reactions on this question and or whether the technical bundling, if you have any insights into how that works? Sarmat, I see your hand up.
Thank you, Dennis. So I think those are two different questions. Whether an allocated label, allocatable label should be allocated or not, I think is a policy question. There is actually SAC 60, probably, I'm not sure, I need to go back and check. There is actually a recommendation that we need to minimize allocated labels. So that's one aspect of it, and I think that's something which policy really needs to look at. Or actually, we can also, to some extent, look at, so I have some, for example, ideas on what should actually be, what should be allowed or not allowed. Again, our own opinion at this time. And we can come back to that. But whereas, when you talk about bundling and implementation, that's a very different, it's not a policy issue. It's really, not a root zone LGR technical kind of issue. It's more like an implementation issue to me. Different people may actually choose to do this differently. Two different issues may actually really have a very different solution on implementation. So I guess just suggesting that if we want to talk about implementation, that really should be discussed in a separate point than this particular point.
Thank you, Sarma. I tend to agree with you. What Desalin is suggesting is an implementation on how you deploy these potentially a number of TLDs that are variants of each other, and how you do that. That's up to the registry operator how they maintain that, and that's a policy decision rather than the technical aspect of the application of the roots on LGR. Okay, let's keep going. If there's no other questions. All right. Letter D. Is it desirable that allocated values be reversed to allocatable status? Yes, no, why? Does timing matter before or post delegation? I think we need to look at the security aspects of allowing such changes of disposition, especially those that are were allocated and already delegated, and they're and then their disposition status changes to block if that's even a possibility. But we should make a recommendation about status changes. Any reactions? Okay, hearing none. Let's keep moving. Let's see. Chat. So on the chat box, Tharmac asks, will status change be covered in the matrix we are doing? I think, let me see. Let's go up a bit. Right. Yes. I think we will. So I think at some point we need to merge these two. Yeah. You're right. So we'll merge K and D and C. These two topics are related. So 1K. Okay. And I think on the same vein, letter E is very related to changes of the status or the disposition of a variant label. So we'll merge all these questions into, I think, one bucket of dealing with disposition of variant labels. But before I move on, I want to ask, you guys, do you have any questions, comments? Okay, hearing none. Let's go to the next section, appeal process. So the premise is simple. The question is simple. If a applicant or any other user does not agree with the calculation of the roots on LGR, do they have any process they can avail themselves in order to appeal the decision of the roots on LGR? I think one question is here, we may want to consider, should applicants of top-level domain names have any preference or into the appeal process, or they just simply users of the users of the roots on LGR? Any reactions? Sarma, go ahead.
Thank you, Dennis. So I think what I suggested in my comment is that there are actually possibly three different points of view here instead of two. These present two points of view. So if you see my comment, there is a point of view of an applicant, there is a point of view of a community member or a trademark holder who actually wants to raise an objection. And
The third point of view, obviously, is for the generation panel itself. Each of those roles could actually request to redefine a variant set. And I guess we need to see, you know, how to address each of those cases.
Thank you, Sarma. Any other comment? Edmund, please.
Thank you, Dennis. Just building on what Sarma just said, I guess I want to get a clarification from Sarma as well. When you say that certain dispute process might change, do you mean, for example, changing a blocked variant to become allocatable? Or, because there's a little bit more example there that might be useful to wrap my head around. I think we definitely need to cover it, but I just want to get a sense of what you're thinking in terms of the dispute triggering some change to the LGR,
so,
like to CPR results.
Right. So what I was actually referring to was what is probably, I guess, intended here is that each label creates a variant set, and somebody may not agree with that variant set, and that can be done in two ways. One is that somebody thinks that there is another label which is not in the variant set but should actually be a variant. And the second case would be that somebody thinks that a label which is in a variant set should actually not be a variant.
Does that answer your question, Edwin, before I go to one way?
Yeah, it's okay. I guess let's go into details when we talk about the recommendation.
Okay. One way, please, go ahead. Wei, if you are talking, you are on mute. I cannot hear you. Wei? No? Okay. So, Sarma, is that an old hand or is that a new one? Okay.
Old hand. Thank you.
Okay, one way, just let us know when you're ready to speak. We still cannot hear you. So, signal us through the chat or.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, you're right. Go ahead, please.
I'm sorry, I'm ready. I'm sorry, I forgot I'd mute my microphone. I just forgot to turn it off.
Go ahead.
The appealing process might, the appealing process might be a little bit complicated than we expected. You mentioned that any remedy available to the member, to the appealing party in the letter B. I was wondering, what if a appealing party succeeds in the appealing process? Should his application be resolved case by case, or the whole LGR specifically should be changed and will be batch processed to or applied to all the TODs?
That is a good question, Juan, and I think one that we need to ponder very carefully and very in detail. I mean, SLAC 060, I believe, provides a glimpse of they recommended a process by which an appeal process can work out. For example, reconvene the generation panel so that I can look at the case and determine whether the claim is valid or not, and whether it proceeds or not, and if that affects the LGR itself, and they have to restructure the script LGR, and then that the script LGR has to be integrated into the Rootson LGR, and so on and so forth. So we will have to go into that such detail in order to issue a recommendation, I think. So short answer is, yeah, we have to come up with those recommendations. Hope that answers your question.
Yep.
Thank you. So what I'm going to do on this section is to copy what ESAC 060 recommends, and from there we can start thinking and brainstorm as to whether that makes sense or not, or how we can provide a recommendation how to deal with dispute processes based on disagreements of the LGR calculations. Okay, so that's going to be an action item for me. Any other questions on Section 3? None. Okay, and we are 1 minute to the top of the hour, so I want to stop here. Again, so I'm going to re-listen to this recording and incorporate all these comments and on the questions. I will ask you to, once I post again the draft, please review. Please feel free to comment, augment any sections as you see fit. And we will reconvene next Monday, should be Monday 11, same channel, same time. And I'm glad, for the record, I'm glad we have Adobe Connect back. Okay. I think that's it from me. Thank you very much for joining, and we'll regroup next week. Thank you. We can stop the recording.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.